Get undressed, get under the sheets. Ooh, you're in for a treat. No, I promise this is not a dream. It's just a happy ending with Joy Eileen. Alright, this is, I don't even keep track of episodes anymore. So we're gonna do that. And then on the table, oh my god, I'm so excited. Okay, John was right. On the table, I have Candace Thompson.
Yay. Oh my goodness. Hi, everybody.
Yay. Which I'm going to say it's not fair because not only are you talented and funny, you're also gorgeous and...
Stop it.
That's not fair. Like, you should have, like, not one, you know, like...
You are making me blush right now. If my face wasn't smushed into this pillow right now, you'd be able to see that I'm blushing.
No.
Right now. Yes.
No, you're awesome. John and I have seen you, like, come up. Because we've been going to the Comedy Store so long, like, before I even decided to do comedy.
Wow.
Like, we saw you, I think it was New Year's 2 or 3 years ago.
That must have been, yeah, because I've been past at the store now. It's been 3 years, which is insane. So, yeah, you probably then saw me when I first got past. Yeah.
And then Gerard Carmichael got you super drunk.
Oh!
And you were on stage.
Gerard usually, he also, for some reason, has been the facilitator of me getting high as well. He was who bought me, for weed, I guess it's just called a bowl. Okay. I don't know. I'm such a novice when it comes to smoking. I have no idea.
I've never, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think it's called just a bowl, and it's this little tiny pipe. And, yeah, but he's the one that brought that into my life.
That is
so, yeah, he's kind of just been my, what's the... my gateway into how I get addicted to cocaine later.
There you go.
That's yeah. What comics are supposed to do, right? We're supposed to get addicted to drugs and liquor.
Is that what we're supposed to do?
That's what they say.
I don't have time.
I don't either. I don't even understand really when I see, like, I think what it is like a lot of people get attracted to the lifestyle of a comedian and not necessarily want to put in the work of doing the actual joke writing.
Yes.
And I just see, like, people get affected by the lifestyle. Like, I see comics just standing outside just smoking cigarettes, and I'm like, why aren't you guys just going home and working on stuff? And why are you just hanging out? Like, I always feel like they think that there's a lifestyle you have to keep up, and they focus on more of that than the actual, like, hustle part of it.
I completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really bad at the hustle part of it, which is why I bring John everywhere I go, because he's very likable. And
he handles the networking part.
He does. I'm like, you do that, and then I'm just gonna write and tell jokes and be super awkward on stage because for some reason I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, why you? I'm like, I don't know, I like being on stage. I just don't like anything after.
Yeah, no, and I honestly, I'm the same way. Like, I like the performance part of it, but the further you get into it, you realize that the networking part of it is, like, so even not more important, but it's just as important.
Yes.
Which sucks, because it's like, I would rather be, like, working on stuff and shooting stuff and honing my craft rather than having to schmooze with people. But even just now, I found myself, like, going out to brunches with people more, initiating meetings with people more, sparking up random conversations with people, even if I don't even know that they're in the business. Like, I'll just be at a restaurant now and start talking to people, because you never know who you're going to meet.
That is true.
Especially out here. I randomly met some dude who's a movie producer when I was in Atlanta a couple weeks ago.
That's true. Like, I massaged a lady, and I was just mentioning, she's like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, do you have time? And I'm all, well, I do massage for money. I go, then I write books sometimes for money. And she's like, oh, what kind of books? And I go, romance. And she's like, oh, I'm a producer for Hallmark. And I'm all, oh,
wow. Shit. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, here's my book. My name's Joy.
Yeah, no, that's, I'm telling you, it's like half of it is who you know. And it's random encounters, too. It doesn't even necessarily, you could go out of your way to force yourself to meet somebody who you think you need to meet, and that's not even the person who ends up helping you. It's some person you randomly met, you know, at yoga class or at the getting your car fixed.
Right. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And I will say, like, I saw you, like, when you lost all the weight, too.
I did lose some weight.
You lost a shit ton.
Mm-hmm.
And good for you, because about 6 years ago, I lost, like, 70 pounds.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
And then I found it.
Ah!
Because Because I'm like, that's what moms do, right? Things get lost and moms are like, oh, I'll find it.
I'll find it, yeah.
And I think I found some extra too. So that's fun. But good for you for keeping it off.
Thank you. I found my weight has fluctuated my whole entire life. Like, I didn't... Well, I went to college and what I studied in college was dietetics and, like, nutrition because I wanted to understand, like, how I should, you know, handle food. Uh-huh. Like, that's what... Because everyone loves food. Like, it's delicious. And, like, finding a balance of, like, what works for your body is also a whole nother level of a... It takes time to figure that out. So I, like, when I was younger, I was a little bit bigger. I was probably like 30 pounds heavier than what I am now. I actually just posted a picture on my Instagram of my prom, like my prom picture from when I was like 15 or 16.
Okay.
And I got so many comments, like people just laughing because they were like, who is this girl? And I'm like, that was me. And I'm the type of chick, like all my weight just like went to my back.
Okay.
I had like the broadest shoulders. I look like I could throw a shot put or was like on the wrestling team. It was hilarious. So yeah, I like I said, like I fluctuated all my life, and I've just now over the past like probably four years figured out like what I need to do, and then over the past year been able to like stick with it.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I figured out, like, I had the will, I went gluten-free, dairy-free, corn-free.
Mm-hmm.
And from the day after Mother's Day, which actually would have been today, 7 years ago, shit. And till Christmas, I lost 70 pounds.
Wow.
And all I was working out is doing the elliptical, and it just melted off of me. And then on Christmas, John's fucking aunt was like, here, Joy, I made oatmeal raisin cookies, which are my favorite.
And that was the downfall.
And that damn cookie. By the time New Year's ran around, I think I was already 10 pounds bigger. I'm like,
damn. And it sucks because why is it so hard to lose weight but so easy to gain it?
It's not fair.
Like, that's why you know God is hilarious, because, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right?
It should be just as difficult to gain it as it is to lose it, but yes. It is not.
And then John, all he has to do, fucking asshole, is be like, you know what, I'm going to lose weight. And then 10 pounds is like, you know what, I'll see you later. I'm going to go stick with Joy.
Yeah, no, men, it's so much easier. They have everything easier. It's just, again, God is hilarious. He's like, how can I make women's lives more difficult?
Let's do this to them and see if they can handle it.
Yeah, let's see if, and he knows we can. That's why it's like, oh, women can handle it.
Right, let's just put more on them.
Yeah,
they got it,
it's fine.
Yeah, John lost, last week, in a week, he lost 10 pounds.
In a week?
In a week.
I'm gonna slap him in the face next time I see him.
Please do, he deserves it. And I'm like, are we doing crystal meth now? Like, is that our thing?
It's so unfair. But yeah. I found that for me, I fast. I don't know if you've ever tried fasting before.
No, but I was going to ask you about it because I heard you talk about it on one of your sets once. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't eat for like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. That's the longest I've gone. I went 14 days just doing the Master Cleanse.
Okay.
Which is just a lemonade concoction. It's lemonade. It's lemons, water, cayenne pepper, and grade B maple syrup.
Okay.
And that's all you do. You don't eat anything. And you're supposed to do it for a minimum of 10 days, but people have done it up to 40.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to, like, get on stage and...
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I felt fantastic. That's why ever since I did... The first time I did the Master Cleanse was probably in 2007. Okay. And I knew that I felt... And at that time, before I started the fast, I was still eating chicken. I wasn't eating red meat or pork. I gave that up when I was, like, 13.
Okay.
And then... But I was still eating chicken and still eating, like, a bunch of processed, like, unhealthy types of foods. And, you know, especially when you give up, like, meat, you're like, what can I eat? So then what happens with a lot of vegetarians is we end up eating stuff that doesn't have meat in it, but it's like full of carbs or full of sugar. And so you can meet people who don't eat meat and you're like, you don't look like you're very healthy. It's like, because I've been binging on Cheetos, you know?
Right.
So it's like, you look for things to fill you up when you don't eat meat, and that's when it can go wrong. So when I did the fast the first time in 2007, I felt so great afterwards that I ended up giving up chicken.
Okay.
So that's when I was like, I became pescatarian. So I was just doing fish, and even that is like occasionally. Like, even to this day, I don't do fish very much. I just do it like when I love sushi, so like that's hard for me to give up, but I don't do it that often.
Okay.
And then what I found myself doing is just fasting, like usually like once a year, and I'll do it for like maybe 10 days, or throughout the year, I'll do it maybe like if I know that I ate really badly over the past like week, I'll do like a 1 day or a 3 day fast where I'll just do like juices.
Okay.
And it really does help to keep me in check.
Huh. That's interesting.
And fasting is actually really good for you. People don't know that. They think, you're not eating food. How is that good for you? And I'm like, we've all been brainwashed to think that we need to eat so much more than what we need to eat. And that's because it makes people money. So they tell us that we're supposed to be doing these things. But fasting is actually really healthy for you. And it basically what it, the theory behind it is that your body has everything inside of it to heal itself of everything. Cancer, any disease that you have, your body was built to heal it. The problem is that with the stuff that we eat, the processed foods, pollution, everything that we, alcohol, everything that we intake. Yeah, everything that we intake, our body spends so much energy trying to break that garbage down that it can't focus on what it's supposed to be doing, which is healing itself. So when you fast, your body gets a break and it gets to do what it's supposed to be doing.
Okay.
Right. So it gets to be doing its true purpose. So it really does. I'm telling you, like, I have felt so good when I do it that that's why I keep doing it.
Okay. And that makes sense because if you feel, when I went gluten-free, dairy-free, corn-free, I did. I felt amazing. And right now I work out with my niece. She's a personal trainer. She's very mean. She charges me $5 to kill me. And she was, if I was eating the way I was eating then and working out the way I work out now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have a chance to have a nice body.
It's a lot of work. It's just, you have to, you know, it's a mind thing. All of it. The fasting, just the lifestyle. It's like, it's literally just changing your mindset and being like, I'm ready to do it. If you're not ready, it's going to be, you know, hard to execute it. But you have to, your mind has to be in the right spot.
Yes, because mine happened, like I said, Mother's Day. We went to, I don't know, some stupid ass movie. And my sister-in-law took a picture of me humping this cardboard cutout of Vin Diesel.
I mean, yeah.
Right. And she showed it to me. And I'm like, holy shit, do I really look like that? And she goes, no, it's just a bad angle. And I'm like, no, there's a lot of angles there. And I ate like shit that Mother's Day. I had Cinnabon. I had a burger. And then the next day I was like, I'm done. Yep. And I was.
Yep.
And then that fucking oatmeal raisin cookie.
I'm telling you, man, it's hard. It's a slippery slope, man.
It is.
When you just have to check yourself. And like, we will make up so many excuses. Like, oh, well, it's someone's birthday or it's a holiday. We make up so many excuses to like behave badly when it comes with food, comes to food and alcohol. But it's like, you have to realize, like, we do this all the time.
Yes.
Like, you can find an excuse every day, you
know?
That's
true. Like, I could be like, oh my God, I just massaged Candace Thompson, who I adore. I'm going to go have a damn piece of cake.
Right.
Or a cake.
It's true.
Right?
It's so true.
I'm totally going to do that.
Oh my God, all the delivery plates, and they just make it so easy for food to just come to you.
Yeah, I know. And it sucks because I was making two meals. Like, I would make Joy's meal and then John and the kids' meal when I did that. Because John was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, okay, I get that. And then the kids are like, yeah, Mom, I'm not eating what you're eating. And I'm like, yeah, I don't even want to eat what I'm eating. So, like, I would make two different meals. I was so good. And it's funny because when you have that drive, like, I was good. Like, I didn't break once. And, like, there were times I'd be in Starbucks getting something and the lady's like, oh, we're giving away free cheese danishes. I'm like, what the fuck?
How come I've never been there for that?
I'm like, no. And she'd laugh at me. I'm like, I'm trying to be good.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm telling you, they don't make it easy. They don't. It's literally, and you know, the thing is that you have to have your little cheats. Like, you can, I know that during the week I am, like, very good. And I know on the weekends I let myself splurge a little bit. And that's really the only way that I think it's sustainable.
I agree. I can see that. Now, holy crap, that's a huge knot right there.
I have, that's the worst part of my body.
I was going to say, and you've said you've had massages before, right?
Yeah, okay. But when sometimes I'll go to sleep and then I'll wake up and then just my right side, right where you're touching, it just hurts.
Okay.
And I try to stretch it out, but I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Because it'll go away and then it'll come back, but it always comes back.
Honestly, ice is going to be your best friend.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. Okay. Ice for 10 or 15, 20 minutes right before you're going to bed. Like, not when you need to move. Heat's going to be what your friend when you need to move and you need to get on with the day.
Okay.
But healing is going to be your ice.
Ice, okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of stretching, I guess it's Sean Pulaski's anniversary today.
Oh.
And my jackass, I'm like, hey. happy anniversary to the most stretch comic I know. And I posted it, and I'm like, that didn't sound right.
Well, it didn't sound bad.
And I go, you know what? She started laughing. I go, you know what I mean, right? Like, we all know there's some other stretch comics, way more stretch than you. And then I'm like, why am I still talking? Please stop talking.
That's hilarious.
I do that a lot. Like, we're at the comedy store and I see people, I'm like, oh, don't talk. Just don't talk, because you're going to say something stupid.
Open mouth, insert foot. Like, that's me all the time.
Yeah, I dip my feet in chocolate before I leave the house, because they're going to end up in my
mouth. In your mouth.
I'm like, okay.
They're going to end up there. They might as well taste good.
Exactly. Especially, like, Rick Ingram. He's...
I love Rick. He's so funny.
Emily's laughing. Like, I have a huge comic crush on him.
Yeah.
And he knows it. Oh. So he makes fun of me. He's like, look, are you blushing? I'm like, yeah.
That's so funny.
So...
We were standing on the back patio one night, and she was on one side of the wall, and I was on the other, and she was just talking, and then all of a sudden... Rick walked past and she went, Rick! Right in his face.
And you scared the shit out of him.
No, he turned around and he's like, you like to make things awkward, don't you? I'm like, oh yeah, that's
kind of what I do.
I'm like, you should see me on stage, but please don't see me on stage ever. No, I don't want you to see that, because...
No pressure. Yeah, no, Rick is great. His crowd work is kind of brilliant.
Yes. He got John, like, before we even knew who he was, before we even knew what the comedy store was, we just went there, and he picked John out of the crowd and fucking destroyed him.
Hilarious.
And I'm like, well, I know he's not a plant. Like, I know my husband has no idea who this dude is.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm in love. Like, please come home and make fun of my husband all day long. I get tired of it. I want somebody else to do it.
Yeah, no, that's a skill. Like, it's one of those, I'm definitely more of a writer, so, like, crowd work for me, like, if it just comes naturally during a set, like, I'll go with it, but it's a completely different skill that I do, like, I need to work on a little bit more, just because it's going to loosen me up on stage more.
Right.
So I have to force myself to do things, because I always like to be prepared. Yes. I always like to, like, go in with at least an idea of what I'm going to talk about, but I'm such a structured person, but I need to break that habit. I need to just be a little bit more looser so I can have more fun.
See, that's my thing, too. Like, one, I'm a huge writer. I write all the time, mm-hmm. You know. Books out and all that, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never done the same set twice.
Oh, wow. You sound like Jamar.
And it's bad because people are like, Joy, are like, oh, I didn't hear that joke before. I'm like, yeah, I just wrote it. And so I know I need to get like my type five, my type three.
Of course, yeah.
But I write things and I'm like, I have to say this. This is hilarious. And that's something I need to break. But I do have the structure. Like, I know what I'm going to say when I get on stage.
Yeah.
So hecklers do throw me off, and they're always drunk old white women.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Good. Like, can we just scan the room and kick them out, please? Like, they're trouble.
Yeah, I don't ever understand the mindset of a heckler, but in their heads, they really do think they're helping the show, and I just... Even when I wasn't in stand-up, didn't know anything about it, I knew that yelling something out at somebody who's on stage was not a good idea. So right? It's like, there must be also a level of stupidity involved with hecklers.
Yes. But have you noticed, like, I don't know, maybe, because I'm a huge people watcher too, like, we go out and sit on the patio, ditch the kids, and just watch people at the comedy store.
Yeah, no, it's great.
And, like, people, when they're going into a show or when they're leaving a show, they're, like, extra loud and they're trying to be funny, and it's like,
dude,
why? You just paid money, so you don't
You don't have to be funny, man. And I talk about this all the time, but, like, comedy is the most disrespected art form. Like, because everybody thinks they can do it.
Yes.
So they don't respect people that actually can. And I just, it makes me so mad. Like, even when I'm, like, dating, you know, with dudes, because they always want to be the funny ones. Even when they're not comics.
Uh-huh.
They just, men are supposed to be, you know, the funny ones. So there's like this competitive, like they feel like they have to one-up my jokes. They feel like they have to say things that are mean because, you know, obviously mean things are funny.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just like, dude, you don't have to be, I'm the funny one. Calm down.
My name is on the wall.
Right. I got this.
I'm good.
We don't need to be two of us.
Right.
And I don't need for dudes to be like hilarious. I just, you know, I just need, like, the guy that I'm dating to be okay if I, to be able to laugh at himself. So if I say something funny about you, you don't take it personally and get mad at me.
Right. You don't pout. And yeah.
Right. But you know, men and their egos.
Yes, I do. Thankfully, I don't know. I got lucky with John. Like, he's the one, like, he's been to almost every comedy show I've done. He's been to every author signing I've done.
That's great. Yeah.
And he's very supportive. But, and I think this is just my thing. Like, anytime I go on stage and go off, like, the first thing he does is tell me how I did, and he does not hold anything back.
That's great.
And he'll be like, you know, I like the setup you did before. Like, I don't like the way you did it this way, or mm-hmm. why'd you change the words? And at first, I'm like, bitch, like, you get up there.
Yeah. Like, right.
And then after a while, I'm like, yeah, you're right. But just, I'm like, can't you just wait until that high wears off at first?
Before you crush. Right.
You know I don't do drugs. I barely drink. We have 3 kids. Like, give me something.
Can I have something, please?
And now I'm going to go eat a damn cake that says Candace Thompson. Like,
shit. I bet it's going to be delicious.
It's going to be amazing. It's gonna have lumps in it, but
oh my god, I have so many lumps. I'm so sorry.
That bra line.
Is that where I have a lot of lumps?
Yeah.
Jesus.
But a lot of women do, because the bra actually changes our center of gravity.
Ugh.
So, yeah, you do. You have some nice knots. But, okay, how did you get into comedy? Like, how did you, what, how, when?
I mean, so many questions, but that's why we're here, right? We're gonna... We're going to get into the origin story of Candace Thompson.
Yes, I really want to know. And if you ever need a ghostwriter for your book, like,
she's
this,
like,
chick,
let
right
me
here,
know. Let me know.
I've been stalking Argus Hamilton for 2 years.
Argus. Oh, yeah, he spoke yesterday, too. It was so nice what they did for Mitzi yesterday. It was beautiful. How I got into stand-up. So what's crazy is that I just have always been, like, a funny person. So I just... Like, you know, when you're younger, you don't really have necessarily direction. You don't know what you want to do with your life. All I knew was that I had 2 parents that were fantastic. And I was like, I'm just going to be that normal person who just goes to college, gets a job. I'll probably get married at some point, maybe have some kids. I don't know. But I'm just going to go on that normal path that society tells us we're supposed to do.
Okay.
So, but when I went to college, I studied dietetics and nutrition and health. But then probably 6 months before I graduated, something clicked and I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to work in a hospital. I was like, I'm too goofy. I was like, what's the one thing I've done all my life that I've been able to do without even trying? And that's make people laugh. And when I was a kid, I'd always watched, I loved comedies, I loved sitcoms, I loved watching comedians on, like, The Tonight Show. There was something about stand-up that I just really enjoyed. I loved laughing, and I knew that I loved making people laugh. And I'd been doing it since I was a little girl. It was kind of a defense mechanism for me, because I always felt growing up that I didn't fit in anywhere, because being just multiracial and being black and no one knowing that I was black, and me and my sister being treated differently because she was darker than me, you know, that just kind of set the tone for me to become someone who spent a lot of time by myself and learning how to do things that made me feel okay being by myself and being a little bit weird.
Okay.
I always felt weird. So when I went to school, to college, and I decided 6 months before, I was like, I don't think I can work in a hospital. It seems so serious. I'm like, I'm gonna have people's lives in my hands. I was like, I don't think this is what I'm supposed to do. So I got the idea. I was like, I think I want to move to LA and try writing for television and acting. And I knew that I wanted to, like, write on sitcoms.
Uh-huh.
And just somehow be in comedy. And I told my parents that, and my parents, because they're amazing, were completely supportive from jump. They were like, okay. They let me live at home for a few years after I graduated, and I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna use this talent that God gave me, because I don't think that was an accident.
Right.
And I'm gonna parlay it into a career. And so when I first moved out here, again, I had no idea I'd be doing stand-up. I just was trying to do the acting thing and find out, like, try and make my way into finding out how I can write for comedy, for television, for sitcoms. And so I just fell into stand-up by meeting a friend of a friend who was doing stand-up, and he was like, you're funny, come do some open mics with me. And I started doing some open mics. I joined a sketch group at the Laugh Factory that was called the Comedy Playground.
Okay.
At the time, we met every Wednesday, and you will not believe, but Kevin Hart was in that group with me. Tiffany Haddish was in that group with me. Like, it was just a group of Chris Spencer, David Arnold, Rodney Perry. Like, it was just a group of, like,
talent.
And I had no idea who I was, like, working with. Like, you know, I was, like, I just moved to L.A., like, a couple years before that. And I was just, like, these people are hilarious. And it kind of was, like, my first family when I moved out here. So, after that, you know, I started focusing the sketch stuff. I started focusing on sketch and more stand-up. And then, yada, 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 it just kind of worked out from there.
Hell yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so you did... Was it the Tonight
Show? I did the Tonight Show last year. Yeah.
That was so... We watched it. I was like, oh, we gotta record it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was such a surreal experience. Again, you know, I said I grew up watching... As a kid, watching Johnny Carson on the Tonight Show. And I used to memorize the sets that the comedians would do.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was so funny because my mom would watch with me. And she wouldn't laugh at all when the actual comedian was telling the jokes. But then when I recited the jokes back, she was like, Candace, you are hilarious! And I'm like, I literally just said the exact thing.
You're like, I just Carlos Mencia'd this
I just
dude.
Plagiarized completely. And my mom didn't care. My mom was like, she just is so ridiculous. She was like, Candace can sing better than Whitney Houston. I'm like, you're making stuff up now. Like,
oh my god, just, that's my mom.
Just ridiculous.
Joy's books are just amazing. No, Mom, they're...
She was like...
But in the comedy, she's like, Joy is... This is my mom. Joy's so funny when she's clean.
When she's clean. Don't... Isn't that... They want... I don't understand why people are hung up on clean and, like, not cursing. And, like, it's like... This is life.
Right?
Like, why can't I talk about sex? We all do it.
Right? You have... two grandchildren from me, one from, you know,
John's ex. What are we talking about?
Right, exactly.
Why can't I curse? I don't understand.
My favorite was my dad. He's like, Sissy, and I go, what? And he's like, I really hate it when you use the F-bomb. And I go, what the fuck is the F-bomb? And my mom's just like, Sam, she's not going to ever change. I'm like, why would you want me to?
Right.
Like, it took me forever to find, because when I was 19... I quit college and moved to Texas for a guy I met online.
Oh, wow.
And got beat up for 3 years. Super awesome guy. He's like the villain in my book, so got out of it. And then I moved here, and then I got with John, and then John was going through this awful divorce and custody battle. So only like 2 or 3 years, I've actually been able to start writing books, and that's when I started doing comedy. And this, I'm like, oh my god, this is who I'm supposed to be.
Yep.
And it took me 36 years to get
to find that. Isn't that crazy?
It makes me so sad. Like, I am instilling in my children, I'm like, you guys go and you find what you are now. Like, yep. You do it.
Yep. It's literally the only thing that matters. Like,
yes.
They tell you what you're supposed to do in life, but it's like, none of that shit matters.
Yes.
Do what makes you happy. You'll find it so much quicker. Like, life literally works itself out.
Yes. Like, just let it go.
Yep.
And that's what, I'm like, you guys, I'm having fun. I'm not, I have a husband who's supportive, and if he's not, I have the willpower to leave him. Ha ha. And I'm like, I've got... John. Eat another cookie, John. I was telling that, because women are like, your husband is so awesome and so sweet. I'm like, John, eat another cookie. I gotta keep chubby. I don't need anybody to know what I got.
That's, yeah. It, like, you gotta lessen his options.
Right. I'm like, let's wrap this shit up. So how did the whole Tonight Show, how did that happen?
That happened because, so I ended up auditioning for this competition that NBC does every year. It's called, it used to be called Stand Up for Diversity. Now it's just called NBC Stand Up.
Okay.
And I had auditioned for that, I think, 3 times before or 2 times before. I can't really remember, but I did it for the first time in, like, 2012, and then I did it again in 2013. And then when I did it in 2013, I made it to, it was like the semifinals that I made it to in 2013.
Okay.
And then, I guess, 2016, I did it again, and I made it to the finals. So it was like me and I think 6 or 7 other comics. And then what happens is they pick a winner from the final showcase, and the winner gets like an NBC holding deal where they like get to audition a bunch for NBC, and hopefully, you know, with the hopes of ending up on a pilot. And I think you get some cash too. I'm not 100% sure. So yeah, that's what the winner gets. And I didn't win it. They chose another funny comedian, J.R. DeGuzman is his name. He won it the year I did it.
Okay.
But Michael Cox was one of the judges for the NBC stand-up, and he's the guy that books The Tonight Show.
Nice.
So he was like, "You're hilarious. Guess what you're gonna get?" He was like, "Yeah, you didn't win it, unfortunately, but I think you're great, so I'm gonna book you on The Tonight Show." That is so awesome. And that kind of changed my life.
Now, is that one of those things where you want to win? Or you know how, like, American Idol and
Of course, yeah. Okay. Where you're just like, oh, I could win, but then I'm stuck in this contract.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you do want to win it. Nothing bad comes from winning. It's like, because you are in a contract, but it's only for a year.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's with a huge network, so yeah. No, everyone that I know that has won it, like, nothing, like, they ended up doing, like, really good things from it. So, yeah, no, it is one of those things that is great if you do win it.
Okay, crazy.
But for me, also great if you don't win it.
Right? Look at you now.
Yeah, like, it just, yeah, I know so many people that have just gone through that process in general. It's just, you meet some dope people that could end up helping your career. Like, I got auditions from that. I got another commercial agent from it. So, it's just, you know. Everything, again, works out the way that it's supposed to.
Right. And you've got, like, huge things coming, right?
I do have some things cooking, like some... I just taped for Comedy Central's... they have a new show that's airing this fall called New Negroes. Baron Vaughn and Open Mike Eagle, they have a show that they pitched and got sold. Nice. So I taped my episode a couple of weeks ago, so that'll be airing in the fall. I just pitched to Comedy Central. I have a web series that I'm trying to turn into a television show. So I just had a meeting with them like a week ago, and they really seemed to dig it. So hopefully I'll get some news with that. I'm working on Rel Battle has a new show pilot for Comedy Central called Black Twitter that we just taped last week for the pilot.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll get picked up. And if so, I'll be a part of that team too. So yeah, there's a few things happening that I'm excited about.
And then your podcast too.
Oh, and my podcast. Yeah, I got to shout that out. The Struggle.
I love that.
Thank you. It's just one of those things where it's like we're all struggling with something and multiple things. And it's every day I'm struggling with something different. So it's just like I just was like, this seems like something that I think could have the longevity because we all have so many things that we're dealing with as adults. So, but also I wanted something that was kind of therapeutic, kind of like what you're doing right now. Like this is also healthy to get this done. So it's like, I wanted to do something where comics could talk about something they're having issues with, but also we can laugh about it.
Right. Well, this is okay. I've been doing this 11 years. So this is, I'm used to this. Like I'm in my element with naked people in lotion.
Yeah. That's yes.
My thing. So I'm like,
two of my favorite things.
Me too. So I'm like, how do I incorporate this? Because I can talk easier to you this way with your face down and you not looking at me than I can like seeing you at the Comedy Store and then just telling you how beautiful you are and then feeling like a complete moron.
So you are so ridiculous.
I'm like, how can I get this where I can talk to comedians?
Yeah.
Get them to know me, because a lot of them, like I said, a lot of them don't know that I do comedy. And when they see me on stage, they're like, wait, what? You're kind of funny.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right.
You know, not on the days I bomb.
I mean, that's all of us. And those days still happen.
I did Guam's show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the Sycamore Tavern on Saturday. And it was almost all females. I don't know why he decided to bring like two or three guys in. One of them was super good looking though, so it was okay.
Hilarious, yeah. And, we're always okay with that.
Right, I'm like, oh, let him go. He's pretty to look at. And it was just all these females and it was just comedians. And I'm like, I don't think I did very well. And then John's like, well, you changed the wording. I'm like, damn it, shut up.
He's like, I'll tell you exactly where you fucked up. I'm like, thanks.
Like, eat another goddamn cookie. Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love you, but I don't like you.
Right, but shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So, how did you, like, so you just started going to the Comedy Store? Or did somebody get you in?
No, I just started going there. I didn't take stand-up seriously at all until 2010.
Okay.
Like, it was one of those things where I was, like, doing open mics occasionally, and then I quit for, like, a year and a half, probably around, like, 2008-ish.
Okay.
Like, maybe mid to late 2008, and then I ended up not really working at all in stand-up in 2009 at all. Like, I think I did maybe 3 sets that whole entire year.
Yeah,
it was one of those things where I just got frustrated with it, and I wasn't trying hard, and I had an issue with a friend of mine who was one of my best friends, who's also who I started comedy with. So once we started not being friends anymore, I kind of got unmotivated to go to open mics, because that's who I was going to open mics with, like, all the time. And then we fell out, and I was like, well, I guess I don't do these open mics anymore, since I didn't have a friend pushing me to and motivating me to go. So
open mics are hard to get.
They're
motivation.
So hard to. I mean, who wants to go sign up for something and stand around for 3 hours to, and then finally get your name pulled and you get 3 minutes of stage time in front of a bunch of comics who aren't going to laugh at anything you say anyway.
Right, in front of a bunch of, like, the top of people's heads.
Right.
They're all looking down.
Right, they're working on their own shit. So they don't care what you're talking about.
Yep.
It's the worst audience. And so to get unmotivated to do that is one of the easiest things to do.
Yes, it's just like eating sugar. Yes.
Right. So I had quit for a minute, and then I got back into stand-up in 2010 after a conversation I had with one of my best friends, very funny Ian Edwards, who I'm sure you know.
Okay,
and
he's
hilarious.
I always tell John, I want Ian Edwards to be my Morgan Freeman narrating my life.
You mean to tell
yes!
me? Yeah, that's his cadence is so ridiculous.
Joy said, fuck you.
What the hell are you talking about?
I always say, I'm like, I want him to narrate my
yeah,
life.
It would be the funniest.
Oh my, he should do that. He should just walk around and be like, the bitch ordered this.
Yeah, no, he's so funny, so talented. And so at the time, I had a conversation with him because I knew that I wanted to work on a joke. And he was like, I was like, will you help me with this joke? And he goes, why? And I said, because I want to work on this joke. And he goes, for what? And I said, because I want to tell it on stage. And he goes, why? You're not a comic. And when he said that, I got so mad. Like, I was incensed when he said it. Like, it lit a fire inside of me that I can't even describe. I was like, I have to prove now that I'm a comic. And so after that conversation, I was like, I'm going to start going to the Comedy Store, and I would sign up. And at the time, I was working a day job, so I was at a desk job until 5 o'clock. I would then run home, change clothes, fight rush hour traffic to get to the Comedy Store for signups at like 5 or 6 o'clock. Sign up, wait an hour to see if they even called your name, which a lot of the time they didn't.
I'll be there tonight. Yes.
Right. So it's like, you know the grind. Yeah, you know the grind, and it's like, sometimes it's like, I just did all that for nothing.
Yeah.
And then I ended up, you know, sticking with it, and I kept doing it, and I made no excuses. I was like, why did I move across the country? Why did I leave my family? Why did I come here if I'm just gonna bullshit? So
yes.
I did that every Monday, or actually I think Sunday, and they were doing Sunday and Monday at the time when
okay.
I was doing this, I believe. So I remember, of course, it was, I think the day that I chose to do was on Monday, for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
And so I eventually worked my way up to friends and family.
Nice.
And then, so at that point, you get to call in your avails on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And I was calling in my avails, and I was getting, like, one development spot a week, which is, like, a 6-minute spot
uh-huh.
on a produce show that's at the store. And I did that for, I think, a couple of years. And then I got started to get sent to La Jolla. They sent me down to La Jolla to do shows. Like, I would feature for some comics, headliners, and at one point, it was right when Tommy got fired.
That was going to be my next question. Who did you get?
I got paid. I was the first. Me and Earl Skakel were the first people that Adam passed when he took over.
That is awesome.
And I love Adam to death. Because he's the first person that literally said in Hollywood, I believe in you.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
Thank you! you?
When Earl had his name on the wall, we were walking by, and this is like when nobody knew us. Now everybody's like, oh, John and Joy. But we were walking by, and Earl's like, hey, man, can you take a picture of me next to the wall? And so, I mean, it was like the highlight of Earl's day, but then John's like, oh, my God, Earl's giggle just asked me to take his picture.
Aww.
And now before Earl knew us, but like John would walk by and be like, dude, I don't know if you remember this, but I was the guy that took your picture. And I'm like, you were such a nerd.
Well, that makes us feel really good when people, I mean, it's just like, yeah, like it's a huge accomplishment to us, but to know that it's an accomplishment to so many other people, it's like, it's a great feeling.
No, it's huge. Like, I always, like, on Christmas Eve, we took the kids to the La Brea Tar Pits to tire them out so they'd go the fuck to sleep.
Give them some cookies and take them to the tar pits.
Right, and then they were like, well, where do you guys always ditch us? And I'm like, oh, the Comedy Store? And I'm like, well, let's go. So we went, and Jessica was there, and she's like, they can come in and look. And I'm like, oh my God, guys, you don't understand how amazing this
is. What's happening right now, right?
So they walk in, and I'm like, mommy's done time there. Like, I've done all three stages.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, and they're like, mommy, where's your name on the wall? And I'm like, oh, it's not there yet.
Yet, right.
And then, of course, they were like, well, who's your favorite? And I went and showed him Punky Johnson's name.
Punky's so ridiculous. She's so funny.
I love her. She's like, I go, will you be on my podcast? And she's like, yeah. Do I have to talk, though? And I go, yes. She's like, so I have to talk during my massage. And I'm like, that's the point. And she's like, oh, and I'm like, I'll give you one after, too. Like, do this for me.
Please.
So I have a picture of the kids, like, pointing to Punky's name.
Yeah, that's so, yeah, no, she's so funny. Like, so ridiculous, too. And so just honest.
Yes.
I always admire. Yeah, yeah. I admire people that can be so vulnerable on stage. Like, Jamar is that same way. Like, yes. He just will say whatever, just, and is like, fuck it. I don't care what the reaction's gonna be. You know, he'll talk about how he sucked a dick when he was 6 years old. And I'm right. Just like, that's some shit. I don't think I could ever say.
Right.
For whatever reason. Like, I don't want to embarrass my parents, or I don't want to embarrass myself. It's just, but that rawness, and Punky definitely has that. It's mm-hmm. great. Yeah.
I will say, though, not any names, but I had a Me Too joke that I was told a bigger comedian was using.
Oh, no.
They started using it in January. I tweeted it in October, but hey, whatever.
Oh, no.
And so I got on stage one night, and I was, because I asked open mic, I'm like, will you guys just give me time? I go, I have to vent right now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't my funniest set, but I've had a couple people like tell me like, that was your greatest set because you just got up there, your voice, you didn't change your voice. It was just the same cadence that you talk to people in. Cause I got up there and I'm like, my Me Too joke got Me Too'd. And
that's so fucked up.
Like, I went into it and I'm like, but whatever. And I'm not accusing them of stealing, but you know, it's just kind of funny.
Right.
And I'm like, but it's done. Like, I'm never going to use it again. Whatever. Right. And yeah, I've had a lot of people go, that was you.
Wow.
And I'm like, but that was hard. Like, that's the first time in a long time I've been on stage and was shaking.
Wow. That's unfortunate. Like, and it's one of those things where it's like, and that's something that's been happening since the beginning of comedy. Like, right. People are going to steal jokes.
And I don't even know. I mean, it was a very simple joke.
Yeah.
It's just basically the hashtag is the pound sign. So basically they're saying pound me too. You know? And
right.
I'm like, well, that, I mean, it could have been parallel thinking.
It could be. And that's another thing. It's one of those things, like, you can never really necessarily prove it.
Exactly. It just hurt because when he tweeted it, he's like, I can't believe nobody's thought of this before. And I'm like, well, go back in October, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Right.
But
yeah, and it's another one of those things where she's like, honestly, you're gonna have so much more material. It's just like, you can steal a joke. You know what? I'm gonna come up with some more.
That, and you know, another reason I love Rick is he messaged me. And he was like, what happened? And I'm like, oh, just, I don't know. I don't know if he stole it. Because I don't like confrontation either.
Right, right.
And I will be so nice to, if you're nice to me, I will take off the shirt on my back. But you'd probably want me to keep it on because there's a lot of stuff that shirt's covering. But, you know, I will do anything for you. I've done some crazy stuff for people. Like, especially in this comedy world. They're like, hey, Joy, like, Sandy Danto was like, hey, will you come massage me on stage and just pretend you don't know me at like 10 o'clock at night when you just worked a 5-hour massage shift?
I'm hilarious. Sure. Yeah.
Whatever. So Rick was like, it's okay. He's like, you're a good writer. And I'm like, are you talking to me? Like, and
yeah.
He, like, had this whole thing. And he's like, you're just going to write more and you're going to do better.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And I needed that. I'm like, oh God, thank you.
Yep. Don't get hung up. Hung up on it, because you're just going to come up with so much more shit.
And that's kind of why I was like, I want to get on stage, I want to vent, and that was my way of just, okay, it's gone.
Yep, move on, yep. So, and know that karma is real, and okay, that if someone steals anything, or, you know, it's just going to come back.
Karma is ridiculously real.
Oh, absolutely.
The night after I did that, I did not mention this person's name. I even stated, I'm not accusing him of stealing. Like, I straight up did it so professionally.
Yeah.
And the next day I got like 4 or 5 text messages like, girl, what the fuck did you do? And I'm like, what? His YouTube and his Twitter were deactivated.
Oh, shut up.
And I'm all, I didn't do anything. I didn't even mention his name. I mean, it was super crazy coincidence.
Oh, wow.
But it was kind of funny. I was like, oh, shit.
Like, ha ha.
And then Jamie Kennedy's like, well, now you can use it again. And I'm all, oh, no. It's okay. I'll let it go.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, screw that. I'll move on and write some better stuff.
Right? Like, my kid, I have 3 boys. You don't think I get you any shit every day? You have
plenty of material. Right.
And I massage people who are nasty and dirty. Like, hand jobs galore. Like, come on. I've got this.
Yeah, no, it's, I've actually gotten to the point where it's like, I'm forcing myself to do things I don't want to do just for stories and material. And, because I'm just a responsible person.
I am too.
And it's like, that's only but so funny. After, you know, it's like I have to dig for things. And it's like, I want to just not make more bad decisions, but I kind of want to make more bad decisions.
Right, you need to live.
Yeah, I need to live a little bit, yeah.
See, I'm lucky because I've got the kids that make stupid decisions.
For you.
Just talk out of them.
I'm, yep.
Like, okay, and then massaging.
Yep.
But I get that. Like, I get that you need more. But because I think I have, my life is every hour I'm doing something.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I don't have the same set twice. Because I'm like, oh my God, this shit just happened. Now I need to talk about this.
Yep.
So now, I don't know. I mean, I have a new thing in my phone every day. I'm like, oh my God, this is funny.
Yeah. I get, like, that's difficult because you have so much you want to talk about. But yeah, it is something to consider when it's like, it, what your goals are. If you are trying to do, like, the late night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're going to have to put together, you know,
yeah,
a tight something.
And then I'm going to have to, yeah. And you're right, I am the responsible one, too. Like, I'm starting to get known, and I don't like it, because I'm only 36. Mm-hmm. And these 25, 24-year-olds now call me mom. I'm
hilarious.
I'm mom at the open mics. And they know it, because if they say something sad, I go, ha! And yeah, you hear them, like, oh, mom's in the back somewhere. Yeah.
It's so messed up. Like, it's 36, that's not old at all.
I'm like, come on, guys.
That's not old at all. But yeah, you see these young comics coming out. I'm like, you're a child.
Uh-huh. Oh, I had a huge conversation with Malcolm Hatchett the other day. I was like, I'm going to mom you because your mom is across the state. And if my children were across the state doing something stupid, I'd want your mom to mom them.
Right.
And because his dad passed away from diabetes.
Oh, no.
And this child is on Instagram, like, posting, drinking cotton candy soda.
No.
And more. And I'm like, dude, you gotta start eating healthier. I'm like, your dad died. You need to behave.
And he's, oh,
like, I know. And then that night, a comic was walking by and he's holding 2 cotton candy sodas.
Okay.
And I go, where'd you get those? And he's like, Malcolm just handed them to me. I'm like, all right. All right, I am mom. All
well,
right.
That's good. He listened.
Right.
Now he's giving diabetes to somebody else.
Right. Not to yell at that person.
Let's just pay this diabetes forward.
Right.
I don't think that's what I meant.
Right. Like, there's trash cans at the comedy store. But I told him, I'm like, you're making me use my mom finger.
Yeah.
And I'm all, don't make me wag this at you. My kids don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I am going to be that mom. Somebody's like, Eleanor's the mom, too. I'm like, well, I would love to be Eleanor.
Eleanor's great.
I love her. So nice.
So nice. Yeah. I mean, it's, you find, I think it just comes with the territory. Like, when you see somebody younger coming up, you and they're fucking up, you just, there's something inside of you that's like, I gotta try.
Uh-huh. At least I can say I did something, whether they take it or not.
Yeah.
Like, I also told them, I'm like, and you need to watch out for people. There are a lot of vampires around here.
Oh, my God. I've never met so many awful people.
No, I know. But I've never met so many good people, too.
Yeah, there's good, they're in pockets. You gotta find them. They're harder to find than the terrible ones. But, like, yeah, so many terrible people.
And that's kind of how it is, like, with the indie author thing. Like, I state, there's a lot of drama. I call it indie high. So I just publish my books and let them go. But then there's also authors that are just in shit, but they're also making $30,000 a month on their books.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I'm like, I made $800 on my books last year. Like, woo! And they're at 99 cents, so I thought I was doing good.
But, right.
Okay.
Baby steps.
Right. It'll come.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, something else will.
Something, absolutely.
Because that's what I said. I was like, I don't know if this and a lot of people are like, when's the podcast coming out? But I want to have more just in case. Like, you know, so I'm just gathering episodes right now.
Right, right.
And I'm like,
yeah, smart.
Well, if something happens with this, it happens. Or if not, maybe it'll take me to something I didn't even think of.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where I'm trying to be free, which is hard because I'm a super control freak.
Same.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Like, John's like, just let it go. I'm like, you.
What do you mean? Well, you know, we're just, especially women, we have to be more responsible. Like, just from jump. Like, we're the ones that can get pregnant. So it's like, we have to just by nature be more responsible to make sure that doesn't happen when we don't want it to happen.
Exactly.
We're the, absolutely, it is a whoops. And it's like, we're normally the neat ones, we're the cleaner ones. Mm-hmm. We have to, like, raise people.
Oh,
so
my God.
We're just by nature, I think, more responsible.
To raise people who make you feel awful.
Yeah.
Mom, you're going to another open mic? Dude, you're going to bed in 30 minutes. Daddy's here. But Mom!
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. That's just...
Wednesdays are my rough days. Wednesdays, I get off work at 8 o'clock. I go home, stuff something in my mouth, sometimes John, if I like it. And then tuck the kids in, and then I drive to Hollywood. I'm like 30 minutes away. And then I do Hooters open mic, and then I do Next Stage open mic, and I don't get home till like 3.
Yeah.
Then I have to take the kids to school, and then I come home, and I pass out with the dogs on the bed and don't wake up until I have to pick the kids back up.
Yep. That sounds about right.
But
that's the hustle.
Yeah, and I never complained. I'm like, okay, I have no problem giving my dues. Like, here it is.
Right.
You know, hopefully something will come of it. But yeah, that working hard is crazy.
Yeah, it's real. But it's like, that's why people are like, when they ask me, like, do you love comedy? And I'm like, I have to.
Yes.
Anyone who does this and they don't love it, what are you doing?
Yes. I don't think you could, or they don't last.
Yes, you can't, because it's such a unforgiving path to choose. We sacrifice so much for it, and for so little.
Yes.
If you don't love it, I don't get it.
Like, even the stories you tell, like, I called my stepson, my oldest, he's my stepson, but he's not, his girlfriend, I call her Jade the Whore. And if she ever found out... But, you know, like, I'm sacrificing that. Like, here, this is how I feel about it. Because I get on stage and I'm like, this, you know, he's my first baby. And this girl is trying to take him from me. And I don't like that.
Ah!
You know, so JTW right there. And
that's hilarious. So, wait, she's not really a whore?
No, I don't think. Well, she has sex with my son, so
So she could. Well, if it's any consolation, it probably will end terribly.
I know. And that terrifies me, too, because... to, you know, come home with his tail between his legs, which is fine.
Right. That's how you learn, man. That's
true.
How you learn. That's how you grow. We all get our hearts stomped on.
That is true. I think everyone should have their heart broken, and I think everyone should have to live by themselves. I mean, maybe with a roommate.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Especially with a roommate, especially if you didn't have, like, a sibling.
Right. Yes. She's an only child.
Yeah. No, you have to. You have to know how to deal with other people.
Yes. And then I just found out his mom, who we haven't seen since 2 weeks before his 6th grade graduation, is going to come to his high school graduation.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to be fun. So, bell money, anybody, like, start saving up now. We'll see where that goes.
Wow. Since 6th grade?
Yep.
Where's she been?
I think she's been in Arizona. She has 3 more kids. She has twins and a daughter. The daughter, she doesn't have custody of, and I think she's at this moment losing custody of the twins.
Man.
John picked her well. And then I came along, I'm like, no more of that nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, women have to be pretty bad to lose custody.
Yes, the fight we had to fight to get him was ridiculous. Because we're like, we're married, we both have jobs, we have a house.
Yeah.
And she's getting popped for like all this meth and stuff. And they trying to give him to her. And we're like,
of course, stop? Moms have to be legit terrible for them to take them away.
Yeah, we're still paying off that debt. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. And then he's going to go with JTW and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, kudos. I don't think I can, like, I don't think I want kids, man.
I don't blame
you. It's so much work.
It is so much. And the mom guilt I have when I get on stage.
Yeah.
And like, it's so much.
It's real. Yeah.
It is.
I've never had that, though. Like, I feel like I'm a better mom by being on stage.
Interesting.
Do you? See?
Yeah. Because I wasn't happy the time that I took off.
Right.
From performing. And so I feel like I'm doing it for her. And she's funny, too. So
you know, my kids are hilarious.
Right.
They also get, I don't know, maybe it's because yours aren't, because Brody gives me shit. Like, seriously, he will hide my car keys.
Yeah.
He's taken my purse. I'm like, dude, mommy, don't go. I'm like, that's not fair. Like, I've got to go. I'm doing this for you. You know, I'm making jokes about you, you know, selling your butthole for pedophiles. Because I love you.
This is for your future.
Right. And I'm like, it's okay. All these comics are broke. They can't afford your butthole. We're cool. Like, we're good.
How we don't end up on the news.
Yeah, no.
All right. Just next time, say, mommy needs this. It's therapy.
Right? Right. So we are wrapping up. How do you feel?
I feel great.
Good. Like I said, I don't know when this is coming out, so if you want to, like, do your media, social media, and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah, now I'll just plug where you can find me online. I'm Jokes by Candice, and it's CANDICE on all social media. So Twitter, Instagram, and my website is CandiceThompsonComedy.com for my touring dates and just local shows, etc.
All right, and I'm wrapping it up, and I hope you are nice and relaxed.
I am.
We will listen to you next time.
Yay!
Bye!